Well, at this time, the children are dismissed for children's church. If they want to head out with their teachers, they can head out now. The rest of you, if you want to open with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. We're looking this morning at the story of Zechariah. Again, I'd like to invite you to come back and join us on Wednesday night for our fellowship meal at 5:30, but then to stay afterwards for the Christmas program that will be put on by the Hebrews 10:25 adults. So please note that on your calendar and come back and join us for that. Luke chapter 1, we'll be beginning in verse 5. Now in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abiah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. You are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When they came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Let's pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have during this Advent season to come together, to read your word, to study your word, and to reflect upon the parts of the Christmas story. We pray, Heavenly Father, that this morning as we examine the story of Zechariah, as we look at his failure to believe, we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would not just reflect on this as a nice story at Christmas time, but that we would examine our own hearts, our own lack of faith, that you would call us once again to repentance and to believe more and more in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You've probably never heard the name of Jim Fix, unless you were a big running enthusiast in the 70s and 80s. But Jim Fix authored a book called The Complete Book of Running. He published it in 1977. Jim was actually one of the people that played a major role in this kind of exercise craze that has taken over the United States in the last couple of decades. He was one of the first people to begin writing about how important it was to exercise every day. When he, about 10 years before he had published this book, Jim decided he was going to begin running. Jim was about 60 pounds overweight. He smoked. He was in horrible health. And he decided, "I'm going to begin jogging." And so he jogged every day. And by the time he published his book, he had lost 60 pounds. He had quit smoking and he had pulled his life together, all because of regular jogging. Mr. Fix's main argument was that you needed to run every single day. If you ran every single day, you would be healthy. In fact, Jim said, if you ran every single day, you would have long life. His leading argument was people who run live longer. Unfortunately, in 1984, Jim died of a heart attack while running. Somewhat ironic. What's interesting, though, is that, yes, running made a huge impact on Jim's health, but Jim had some problems with his heart that he didn't know about. Jim had a genetic problem with his heart. His father had had a similar condition. Jim's heart was enlarged, had been enlarged since birth, and Jim had made some lifestyle choices along the way, cigarettes included, that had adversely affected his heart. And running just simply wasn't able to take care of all of those problems. Today, doctors will tell you that it's not just exercise, but it's diet and exercise and the levels of stress and good genetics that play a major part in our overall health. Jim thought he knew what his health problems were, and he thought he knew the solution. He thought that he knew running would solve everything, but his problem lay much deeper in his heart. Unfortunately, though, Jim is not the only one to think that he knew what the problem was and to come up with what he thought the solution was to that problem, only to fail to notice the major issue of his heart. We as humans are very good at jumping onto what we think must be the problem, usually something outside of ourselves, and then coming up with the solution and saying, okay, that's going to be the solution to my problems. That's going to solve everything, and yet we end up overlooking the greater issues in our lives. You know, we miss the boat completely. We think, you know, if I just had more money, all of my problems would go away. And yet, maybe our spending habits are really the problem. Or maybe our love of money is the issue. Maybe it's a heart issue that's deeper than just how much money we have. We think, if I just lost weight, I'd be happier. And so we get gym memberships that go largely unused because the real issue is we have no self-control to control what we eat or to actually get ourselves to the gym. We think my problems would just go away if my children would just behave or if my spouse just treated me a certain way. If my boss just gave me the respect that I really deserve. In many cases, maybe the boss is upset because we're not doing what we're supposed to. Maybe we're the ones who are disrespectful. Maybe we have a short temper with our children. We think if I just get into this particular social group, if I get in with this certain group of people, all my problems will go away. I'll be super popular. Everything will be great. Maybe, though, that's not a group we should be a part of. Maybe we're left out of that group because we're in the world but not of it. Maybe it's actually a good thing we're not in that group. We assign these problems. We say, if only this external thing would change, then all of my problems would go away. And yet many times the problem lies right in our heart and we fail to notice it. Unfortunately, as Luke tells us this morning, not much has changed in 2,000 years because Zechariah has that exact same issue. Zechariah thinks that he has a problem. He's a priest. He has a perceived problem, something that he thinks is the issue for his life. Problem is, Zechariah doesn't understand that, no, the problem is his heart. It's not what's on the outside, but it's what's on the inside that's the problem. The irony, the divine irony in this passage is that God answers Zechariah's perceived problem. But in so doing, he actually points out his real heart issue. The solution to Zechariah's perceived problem actually happens to be the solution to Zechariah's heart problem as well. We begin seeing Zechariah's perceived problem in verse 7. There we're told that Elizabeth is childless. And that's certainly not going to change anytime soon.